many of my patients and their families, they call me everything but chaplain. Call me father, pastor, reverend. And they think that I bring God to them. But every now and again, I go to the where they are to find God. A couple weeks ago, I was in Modesto, and a man was about 86 years old, and he was dying. And I was talking to him. He was telling me about how he had 5,000 records and 4-track. He was that old. I never even heard of a 4-track. And he was telling me about the music. And then he told me, I asked him, was he afraid of anything? He says, God brought me into the world, and when he's ready, he's going to take me home. And I asked him, I said, is there anything that you want from God? Anything you want to petition him for? He said, I'm in his hands. He said, I have this cancer, I'm in this pain, but no matter what I'm going through, I'm in his hands. Then he looked me dead in the eye and he says, Pastor, are you in his hands? Every now and again, I don't go to bring God, I go to find God. Stand with me as we read the word of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We'll read together verses 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 22. If you didn't know, that's the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. We'll read together verses 1 to 5. If you have it, say, I got it. If you don't, say, wait on me. Revelation 22. I'll read in your hearing verses 1 to 5. I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. And the Bible reads, then the angel showed me the water of life river, crystal bright. It flowed from the throne of God and the Lamb, right down the middle of the street. The tree of life was planted on each side of the river, producing 12 kinds of fruit, a ripe fruit each month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Never again will anything be cursed. The throne of God and of the Lamb is at the center. His servants will offer God service, worshiping. They'll look on his face, their foreheads mirroring God. Never again will there be any night. No one will need lamplight or sunlight. The shining of God, the Master, is all the light anyone needs. They will rule with him age after age after age. Bow your heads with me as we consider for our time together. There's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something better than this. Lord, sometimes we have to give you an in spite of praise. In spite of our sins, in spite of the mistakes of our past, in spite of the choices we wish we could undo, you still wake us up every morning. We don't put our hat on our feet and our shoes on our head. And you brought us here today. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. We ask that you be with us as we look into your word in a new way this morning. Do it as only you can do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good morning. I am honored and privileged to be with you today. My name is Steve Logan. Your pastor and your youth leader invited me to share with you my unique story. I am known as Steve Logan to some, or the first X-Man. Others simply know me as the Wolverine. I did not wear my uniform. I don't want people to jump in fear when they hear my name. I'm not here to cut anybody. I'm not here to stab anybody. I want you to know that you are safe. I'm not here to give a plug for my new movie, Days of Future Past. That is, by the way, on DVD or at your local Redbox. I'm not here to plug that. I want to share with you what it's been like living as the original mutant. When people hear my name, they shudder, they stutter, and they run for cover. If the truth were told, I can tell you, my parents are dead. I'm a lost soul. My brother is gone, and I'm here wandering your earth, wandering your country. I even traveled back in time fighting some battles, trying to save a country that doesn't understand me in a world that doesn't even know me. I had amnesia until Xavier found me, and he took me to the school for gifted children. I ask you one thing, just one favor. Don't hold it against me because I'm Canadian. I did cross your border illegally. I don't know where I was and I didn't know where I came from. Immigration reform is different for us mutants. I ask you one thing, please don't hold it against me. I'm here today to show you and to reveal to you my pain. Sometimes I push people away because I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to injure them. I don't want to cut them. If you get too close to me, you might just lose your fingers. You might lose your hand. And if you make me upset, you'll see the claws come out my hands. People see the motorcycle. They see the muscles and they see the uniforms. They admire me, but they can't get too close to me. They wish they had my power, but they don't know my pain. They don't know what it's like to have sleepless nights. They don't know what it's like to carry the burdens that I carry. They don't know the guilt and the shame of just waking up. The guilt of knowing how to kill and the shame of not being able to deal with the killing. You don't have to hide like me. You want my power, but you don't know my pain. You don't know my pain, and you also don't know my path. I have wounds and I have scars that you cannot see. Every wound is a regret and every scar is a memory. Each one is a painful reminder that I'm a mutant and I'm not normal. I'm tired of losing people. I'm tired of helping people. I'm tired of getting close to people only to have them walk away when they see the real me. You admire me, but you don't know my pain and you don't know my path. People see the smooth skin and the sideburns and the youthful appearance, but they don't see what's going on inside of me. I know at least 5 people like that. You look at their Facebook page and you think that they have it all together. You look at their Instagram pictures and see all the smiles and the likes and the favorites, but you don't know their pain. Life for them ain't been no crystal stair. You don't know the burdens that they carry. I want to tell you, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. If you get too close to me, I might just lose my head. If I posted everything I thought or felt on my Facebook page or Twitter, FBI and Homeland Security would be at my front door. You don't know my pain. But I don't know your pain. I don't know your path. I don't understand all the detours in your life, all the wrong streets you went down. The years gone by that you cannot get back. People judge your life by your highlight reel, not knowing what it takes for you to get where you are. All they see is the finished product, but they don't know the pressing. They don't know the shaping. They don't know the grinding that it takes for you to wake up and face each day. They see your glory, but they don't know your story. One of your members of your church knocked on my door and they gave me a Bible. They told me to read the end of the story. They told me to read the last chapter in the book of your Bible. And I opened up to the book of Revelation, to chapter 22. And I read verse 1 where it says that an angel showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stands this tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding a fruit every month. And the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. I look and I saw something I had never seen before. I see a throne, I see a river, and I see a tree. I see a tree so big that it's on both sides of the river. And this river goes down the middle of the great city in heaven. And at the end of the river is this big throne. And I reason in my mind, if there's this big city and this big tree and the big river, it has to be a big throne. And anyone who's sitting on that throne can help me with my sleepless nights. No one ever told me that there's a tree in heaven that can heal my scars. When I read this, I whisper in my mind, there's gotta be something better than this. If this is going to be the end of the story, what does it say about my life in the here and now? You see, you need to understand something. I don't age. The cells in my body regenerate almost spontaneously. I have muscles upon muscles. I have boundless energy. I have fought in more wars than you can remember, even in some you've never heard of. At first thought, I thought it was a good life. I win every fight. I look good in a tight leather uniform. I do whatever I want, always looking young. But it comes with a price. Since I do not age, I cannot have relationships. Since I have so much guilt for all of the people that I've hurt, I cannot get a good night's sleep. And when I do sleep, I dream of this girl named Jane that I used to love in eternity past. But I'm always waking up where I'm either falling or drowning. And I read in your Bible and I think to myself, there's got to be something better than this. Something better than being a mutant. Something better than being Wolverine. Something better than living long. Something better than living young. Something better than living free. There has to be something more than money. Something more than being famous. Something more than having millions of followers following you. And I've learned that people will love you 1 minute and hate you the very next minute. There's got to be something better than this. I think about Tom Brady. The brother has 3 Super Bowl rings. A supermodel wife, hear me, that makes more money than he does. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Everybody knows his name. You might not like him, but you know who he is. Paparazzi follow him. Millions of people adore him. Sick kids in the hospital in Boston look up to him. Every woman wants to be with him, and every man wants to beat him. Or so they think. He famously said, I like the money, but I don't like all the other stuff. Why is it that I have 3 Super Bowl rings and think that there has to be something greater out there for me? There has to be something more than lifting up a Super Bowl trophy. But when the reporter asked him, what is it? He said, I wish I knew. It's not enough to be famous. It's not enough to have all the money. Even Michael Jordan says, you would want to be me for 9 minutes, 9 days, or maybe even 9 months. But you would not want to be me for 9 years. I read in your Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, that whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Do you ever just wonder if there's more to this life? Okay, you went to school. You're not Canadian. You get free schooling. You got the job. You got the car. You got 2 cars. You got money. You got 3 streams of income. You got the clothes. And you look around and wonder, is this it? And people look at you for inspiration, and you have just as many questions as they have. I began my search. In my search for peace, I asked many people. I asked Thor and the Man of Steel, what does it mean to live eternal? And they told me, Wolverine, we're not eternal. We just come from other worlds and other dimensions. We just live for thousands of years. I asked Optimus Prime, and Optimus said, I don't have the answer. I just come from Krypton. I'm alive due to the Allspark. I asked Dracula and wondered, do you have the answer? If we all had the power like Dracula and could save our families from war and be at peace, maybe we can be all right. But Dracula said, I ain't got it. I looked at Twilight and tried to get inspiration from Bella and Edwards. And I wondered, maybe if I drink some blood, I can switch from a mutant to a vampire. They said, we ain't got it. I looked at The Walking Dead and World War Z. And I wondered if Revelation chapter 22 was nothing but a zombie apocalypse. But Brad Pitt got to me and he says, there has to be something more than being a zombie. I looked at your TV shows. I looked at Grimm. I looked at Resurrection. I looked at Once Upon a Time. Even Constantine, looking for answers. Maybe the vampires have the answer. Maybe the zombies have got it. Maybe the fairy tales can make me have a better life. I looked and I looked and I looked and I concluded Being Dracula does not help me because we're pretty much the same. Being a vampire does not help me because I can't enjoy the sunlight. Being a zombie doesn't work. I don't want to be undead. Even being resurrected like Omar Epps, coming back to my town, to my parents, and sleeping in my bed does not help because I still live the same life in the same sinful body. When I look at fantasy and I look at fiction, I look at books, movies, and television, all I can say is and conclude is this: there has to be something better than this. I thought that eternal life was something better than the vampires or zombie could offer. But I wondered, what does it mean to live forever? What does it mean to have eternal life? And I went to your college and I began to study for myself, and I learned that eternal life could be a few things. It could mean simply a lifetime. It could mean a generation or an age. It could mean a long period or a long space of time. Plato even said an indefinite continuing of time. I searched and I searched and I searched, and I began to realize that nothing that is created or has a beginning can be eternal. I thought that maybe it means getting older slowly. I thought maybe it's just simply living a long time and getting older slowly. The only problem is living forever is like getting older slower, but where's the fun in that? It's like watching grass grow or paint dry. It ain't that happy. Aging without dying, hear me, is not eternal life. It can't be, because no matter where I go, I can't leave myself. Sin not only makes you stupid the longer you live alive, it makes you age. Sin has physical effects on the body. In the Bible, I see people living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but they still crazy. They still get angry. They still get tipsy and drunk. Why live forever if I'm stuck being an old version of me? When I tried to make Jane stay, I promised her that I would never hurt you again. I've made so many promises. I've failed so many times, but I still wake up with the nightmares. I keep killing her over and over again. I still wake up with the pain in a cold sweat. Some people think my eternity is a gift. I try to remove myself from society. I try to do the return to the wild thing. I try to live out in the country. I even try to be incognito and go back to Canada. I thought if I could remove myself from seeing other people, then maybe I can get old slower and not hurt anybody. But I learned that the problem isn't people. The problem is inside of me. Living forever without being changed is a curse, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Long ago, the Greeks thought that such a life would be great, and they told the story of the goddess of dawn, Aurora. She fell in love with a mortal youth named Tithonus, and Zeus offered her any gift that she might choose for her boo, the man that she fell in love with. And she asked Zeus that Tithonus might never die. Zeus gave her what she asked, but she forgot to ask that he might be forever young. So she got what she asked for. She fell in love. Tithonus lived forever, growing older and older and more decrepit. He lived forever, but life became a burden. Getting old without changing doesn't work. Because I read in your Bible in Romans chapter 7 verses 18 to 20, for I know that good itself does not live inside of me. That is, in my sinful nature. I have desires to do good, but as soon as you slap me across the face, the blades come out. I want to do the good thing, but the bad stuff I don't want to do, those are the things that I keep on doing. It's not me. It's the sin inside of me. I want to do good. I want to do right, Jane, but evil is inside of me. No matter how long I live, even if I get old slower, I cannot change myself. I cannot fix myself. If I had eternal life by getting older slowly, I don't want that. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. There's got to be something better than this. Some people think that eternal life is getting older slowly. But hear this. Some people think living forever is being forever young. The Japanese businessman Yoshida, he told me eternity can be a curse. It hasn't been easy for you living without time. The losses you've had to suffer. He says a man can run out of things to live for, lose his purpose, become a samurai without a master. And he told me, Wolverine, I can end your eternity and make you mortal. And I told him, Yoshida, what they did to me could not be undone. What I have, you don't want it. Yoshida thought if he could reverse being old to back being young, then he could fulfill all of his life's purposes. He think if I can have a new body and be 25 again, then I can live a fulfilled life. He doesn't understand. Some people think if they could just be young forever, be 21 and dumb and have all the time in the world, where you can eat whatever you want and wake up with a flat stomach. Where you can go to bed at 2 o'clock, wake up at 6, work a double shift, and go partying that night. If I could just be forever young. I can eat what I want and do what I want without all the consequences. You don't understand. You can be strong and be young and have boundless energy, and you'll end up just like me. Here's the truth of the matter. You can do what you want. You can go where you want. You can have whoever you want. But you'll still have the nightmares. Thinking, why can I sleep? Why am I so restless? I got the job. I got the girl. I got the clothes. But there is this aching in my soul. At least let me be a mutant and not these young vampires. I read in your Bible in Romans chapter 7 verses 22 to 24, for in my inward being I delight in the law of God, but I see another law at work inside of me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner to the law of sin and death. What wretched man that I am! Who can deliver me from these muscles, from this young body of death? I can be forever young, but I cannot help myself. I cannot change myself. I can desire to be better, but Xavier cannot help me be better. I can even desire to live forever, but if I live forever just being young, then you'll be miserable just like me. Sometimes I want to take these blades and cut myself because the pain is too deep. Nobody understands what it means to be me. They think if I get more sleep, if I do some yoga, if I eat the right fruits, if I get some Ambien, if I get some mind control. I've tried the sleeping pills. I've tried acupuncture. I've tried massage therapy. But I need a shepherd. I'm tired of being a mutant. I need a shepherd who can speak to storms and sleep through storms and who can calm the storms inside of me. Xavier cannot help me. Major Stryker, he tried to help me, but he couldn't do it either. Even Yoshida cannot help me. I need a shepherd who can lead me beside still waters. I need a shepherd who can restore my soul and give me peace. I'm just a howling wolverine wanting to pull my hair out. But I think in my mind, God, is there something better than this? What is eternal life if I'm living in a living hell? I need someone who is alive, but I need someone who is alive forevermore. Somebody from your church told me if I was vegetarian or vegan and ate the whole organic foods that I could be healthy and I could be holy. But I look in the book of Revelation, I see some vegetarian people, but they're not there based upon what they eat. I begin to think to myself, Wolverine, you don't need another X-Men. You don't need another government intervention. What you need is a shepherd. Yeah. You need a shepherd that when he speaks, it is done. Yeah. He needs a shepherd who can command and it will stand fast. I need a shepherd who says, let there be, and everything that is not in my life goes straining to become. I need a shepherd who put the sun on day shift and the moon on night shift and neither miss a day of work. That's the kind of shepherd that I need. You say, Wolverine, you can't get physical wounds. You don't have physical bruises or scars because your skin heals so easily. But church, every time the blades come out of my hands, I feel pain. You think I am a hero, but this burden is too heavy for me to bear. The more I carry this physical pain, every time I get angry, every time I help one of you humans, it is a reminder that as long as I help you, I will always be hurting myself. For me to help you, for me to be Wolverine, I am in perpetual pain. I'm tired of helping all of these people fighting so many wars. There's nobody out there to help me. The CIA has given up on me. Your president has given up on me. Even Xavier gave up on me. I need a shepherd. Yes. In my mind, I have these hallucinations of being happy, but I realize that I need more than drugs and illusions. I need more than yoga and ambient. I need someone who lived. I need someone who lived before me. And I need someone who lives forever. I need somebody who understands my pain. I need somebody who can watch over me when I'm asleep. Because I'm living forever, but I have no reason to live. Here's my secret. Every human being that you see on your television, none of them are eternal. Nothing created can be eternal. To be eternal means you have no beginning and you have no end. I tried the therapist. I tried the psychologist. But I need a shepherd who speaks to me saying, come on to me, Wolverine. You're weary and you are heavy laden. Come to me and I can give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn about me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You won't have any more nightmares. You won't have any more night terrors. No more living alone and pushing people away. I hear him saying, take my yoke upon you and learn about me. I learned about him and here's what I found. I learned that eternal life is two things. Eternal life is a promise and eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is a promise and eternal life is a gift. And it's not being a mutant. It's not being from another planet. It's not drinking blood. The only way you can have eternal life is if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Bible reads in John chapter 3 verse 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that if you believe in him, if I believe in him, I won't die, but I'll have eternal life. I learned that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was, who is, and is to come. I learned not from reading the Twilight books, not from watching Hunger Games, not from reading books, but from looking in the book of Revelation, I learned that he is my brother and companion in my tribulation. I saw that he told me, Wolverine, you don't have to be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I live, hear me, I was dead, but now I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. And he told me that he has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. That's the kind of shepherd that I need. I need a shepherd that he can walk in the middle of the golden candlesticks and hold me in the palm of his hands all at the same time. I need a God who can hold the sun, the moon, and the stars and deal with healthcare reform, immigration reform, Syria, Iran, Turkey, Damascus, all at the same time while helping your heart to beat, helping your lungs to breathe. That's the kind of shepherd that I need. I need the kind of shepherd that in Revelation chapter 2, he's holding me in the palm of his hand and he says, I know where you live. I need a shepherd who's knocking on the door of my heart in chapter 3. He's sitting on the throne with all power in his hands in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root and the offspring of David. He walks up to the one who's sitting on the throne and just snatches the scroll out of his hands. That's the kind of shepherd that I need. I need a shepherd who in chapter 6, who was worthy. He was slain. And he's alive again. And he redeemed me by his blood. When I see him in Revelation chapter 6, dressed in white and robed in white and riding a white horse, I have to lie prostrate and say, right on, King Jesus, nothing can hinder you. When it is that I read the end of the story, I see in Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 to 5, that no longer is there any curse. That the throne of God and of the Lamb is in the city, and the servants will serve him, and you'll see his face, and his name will be on your head. No more running from robots. No more trying to go back in the past, trying to change history. We'll be safe. There'll be no more nights. There'll be no need for any lamps or light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to reign with him forever and ever and ever. The end of the story describes to me and teaches me what eternal life really means. Eternal life is three things. It is life with God. It is life beside God. And it is life following God. It's not living forever just being young. It's not getting older slowly. You cannot have eternal life if you do not have God inside of you. You need God beside you. You need God in you. And you need to be following him. Eternal life is living forever, but it's living forever with God. Living forever beside him. Living forever following the Lamb wherever he goes. I just don't want a God that I hear about. I don't just want a God that I hear in stories. I don't just want a God that I hear people tell me about in church, like people handing out pamphlets to places they've never been. I want a God who will live with me. I want a God that I can see his face. His name will be on my forehead. I won't be an X-Men anymore. I won't be a mutant anymore. But I'll be inside of that number that no man can number, living beside the throne of God. I want a shepherd that can calm my storms. I want a shepherd that can speak to my storms. I want a shepherd that can give me peace. That's what I've been looking for my entire life. What about you? What good is living forever without Jesus? What good is having robes on your shoulders and a crown on your head and a mansion in the city and a condo in the field? What good is having all of that if God isn't there? When I read the book of Revelation, I come away with this overwhelming desire to tell everybody who will listen that there's got to be something better than this. You say, Steve, Wolverine, it's just fairy tales. It's just stuff from a book. But at the end of your Bible, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And anybody who's thirsty, whoever desires, come and drink of the water of life freely. General Stryker tries to find the secret to my youth. I wish I could tell him about your Jesus. I wish I could tell him that there is something better than being a mutant. There's something better than being Wolverine. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I offer him to you. There was a young boy named Timmy. And Timmy, he wanted something special for his birthday. And he saved up all of his allowance from his 7th birthday up until his 8th birthday because he wanted something special. He didn't have a veggie bank. He had a piggy bank. And he put all of his coins and all of his dollars in this piggy bank because when his birthday came, he wanted something special. He wanted a puppy. And he would go to the local Petco and he would walk in and ask the person, what is there that I can get for my birthday? I want something special. I'm going to be 8 years old. The owner of the pet store showed him all of these different dogs, showed him a pit bull, showed him a Spanish collier, showed him a little baby chihuahua. And he took his piggy bank on the morning of his birthday and he broke it on the counter. He said, what can I get for $8.35? Obviously, he didn't get that much in allowance. And the owner of the store was taking him around saying, I'll give you the hookup. I'll give you whatever dog you want, no matter the cost. And he showed him this German shepherd that had this beautiful coat, that had all four legs, that was already trained. And little Timmy said, no, I don't want him. Show me something else. And he showed him a chihuahua, showed him German Shepherd, showed him every dog in the place. And he saw this three-legged dog over in the corner. And he said, how much do you want for that one? And the owner said, no, bro, you don't want that one. That one only got three legs. He can't run, he can't jump. He can't do all the things that a healthy dog can. Little Timmy said, that's the one I want. You said I could get anyone I want. $8.35, that's the one I want. And he rang up the three-legged dog. And he asked Timmy, why did you want this dog? Little Timmy took his cheap pants from the thrift store and pulled up the leg to the knee. And he showed the owner of the store a prosthesis. Saying that I had cancer when I was 7 years old and they had to amputate my leg. I want a dog who knows what it's like to be like me. A dog that's crippled, a dog that has physical challenges, a dog that can empathize with me. And he walked out there with his three-legged dog. He wanted someone or something that could empathize with him, who knew what it was like to be in pain. I stand before you this morning telling you that's the kind of God I've been looking for. A God who knows what it's like to be super, but a God who knows what it's like to be in pain. And I found such a man. That your Bible writer said in 1 Corinthians that we have, in Hebrews, that we have this high priest. He can be touched with our feelings of infirmity. He knows what it's like to be in weakness. He can reach me where I am and pull me to where he is. He is, he was, and he is to come. Wherever I find myself in this life, whether a mutant or a human, I have a Savior and I have a shepherd that can identify with me. And I offer him to you. If that's the shepherd that you need, I ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a special prayer just for you. That's the shepherd that you need. A shepherd that can give you everything that you need and have more than enough left over for everybody else in the world and treat them as if they're the only person alive. You need a shepherd that put the wetness in the water and the oxygen in the atmosphere. A shepherd that can sleep through storms, but he's not asleep at the will in your life. He can calm storms inside of you and outside of you. He's not afraid of your cutting. He's not afraid of your destructive behavior. He's not afraid of you. That's the shepherd that you need. And if you need a shepherd, you don't have a shepherd, and you want the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, I invite you to come to the front and receive him anew. You want that shepherd who was dead, but he's alive forevermore. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Hear me, he don't give life, he is life. He don't raise people from the dead, he is resurrection. And when you have him, you have eternal life. You don't have to be like Dracula. You don't have to be a vampire. You don't have to be a zombie. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Is there another? You want Jesus to be your shepherd. You want him to be your Lord. Why are you hesitating? Father in heaven, we
wonder every day.
We look up at the night sky and see the stars. On some days, we see other planets and we wonder, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you would visit him?
Who are us that you would come here and be one of us and have the audacity to take us back home with you?
God, we need a Savior who's bigger than our problems and who's bigger than our very lives. A God who can sit on a big throne at the mouth of a big river, overlooking a big tree on both sides of this big river. That is a big God. That's the God that we need. A God that will be with us. God that will be beside us, and a God that will be in us. Lord, we'll follow you for all of eternity because you gave us your one and only Son. If that's the shepherd that you need, just respond by saying amen. God bless you. God bless you.